I'm not so sure that we woke this guy up, but this guy fell asleep last night watching the Olympics. He got hooked. Now, we normally talk to Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus about Ohio State men's basketball. On occasion this time of year, we mix in some football. But, Dunny, because you didn't fall asleep till about 4 or 5 o'clock this morning watching the Olympics, let's start with that. How in the world did you get hooked?
Well, I've always been hooked with the Olympics, especially the Winter Olympics. They're my favorite. The summer ones I'll watch, but I really won't stay up if they're on the other side of the country or anything like that. But the Winter Olympics, for whatever reason, I can watch a cross-country ski event or a biathlon or curling until I'm blue in the face. For whatever reason, I'm just really into that.
What was it last night? Was it curling that kept you up until the wee hours of the morning?
Well, that had a part to do with it. First, it was snowboard cross, which if you have not seen, I think is the best Olympic sport out there. Picture, as they say, NASCAR on snow. And then curling, I saw the U.S. lose to Italy 10-9. And then I watched the women's, I think it was 10 or 15 kilometer biathlon. That's the one that kind of put me over the edge, and I fell asleep after that.
Wow. Okay, so hold on. hold on. NASCAR on snow?
Oh, have you not seen snowboard cross?
I have not seen snowboard cross.
Andy, you need... there was one race, so it's 6 snowboarders or skiers. Right now it's snowboarders. Go down the mountain at the same time. They go over jumps and hills and rollers, and they make high bank turns like you would see on a NASCAR track, except they can't technically bump into each other, but it happens incidentally. At one point yesterday, they were in one race. There were 5 of the 6 people were taken out by each other. They're all fell.
Wow.
And you get some really big injuries with that sport.
Okay, so that's one we need to TiVo for later on tonight. Okay.
Absolutely. You still have a TiVo. I'm impressed.
What's that?
I said you still have a TiVo. I'm impressed.
Well, I'm not a TiVo, but, generally speaking, that's one I need to record for future reference without actually getting into the specific details as to what it's called or branded as. But so that actually answered my next question. I was going to ask what's been the most intriguing event so far. So since we know that's number one, what would come in second place to you?
I really enjoy watching snowboard halfpipe, snowboard slopestyle, the X Games type events with snowboard and skiing will come up here later. And then all the alpine skiing events. The men's downhill yesterday, the women's giant slalom yesterday was awesome. The women's slalom is tonight. Michaela Schifrin going for another gold medal. For whatever reason, it's just, that kind of stuff. Because I ski, I pretend like I can do that, and I know full well I have no chance of doing that at all.
I've seen some videos. I know that you would hold your own in that competition. I know people in Colorado, they've made some phone calls to me, and they said we should bring this up during the interview, so I'm doing my due diligence on that part right now. Well, so for this weekend, again, I'm not as clued into this, and a lot of people, I think, they casually pay attention. So this weekend, what are some events that you're really looking forward to?
Honestly, I just take it day by day. I know I believe the bobsled is this weekend, which is always fun. So I enjoy watching that. They just had the team lose relay this morning, which I watched while getting ready for work. That's always fun to watch. This weekend, I really don't have a schedule in front of me to know what's coming up. I just kind of search to see what they have on live on the internet, and I go with that.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, well, we've talked mostly about the Olympics and NASCAR on snow, and now we transition into Ohio State football. We'll go there before we go to the hardwood. But it seems like we're hearing a lot more on the details, the new contracts for some of the assistant coaches. What kinds of details have emerged on Urban Meyer's new contract? Now, I know it's not been signed or anything like that yet, but details have come to the forefront about him maybe doubling his salary.
Right now, Urban made $6.43 million in his base salary last year. Again, 73-8 in his first 6 seasons, and could be 6-0. Against his rival in Michigan, 47-3 in the Big Ten, 6 consecutive divisional championships. I haven't heard anything as far as him getting doubling his salary, but I mean, would you put it past him to keep a coach like that? I mean, it's incredible the run that he's had. I know they are working on a 2-year extension that will keep it here through 2022. It's expected to be voted on in April by the Ohio State Board of Trustees. I don't see them having any problem with that whatsoever.
How does that affect his assistants and what they might get paid?
The assistants, actually, Ohio State just released what the salaries and increases from 2017 to 2018. You ready for this one?
Fire away.
Greg Schiano, the defensive coordinator, was making $700,000 last year. He more than doubled his salary. He got an increase of $800,000. He'll be making $1.5 million. Ryan Day, the offensive coordinator, made $400,000. He got an increase of $600,000. He's now making a cool even $1 million next year. So two Ohio State assistants are now making over $1 million. There were only 15 assistants.
I think we lost you, Dunny. Yes, we most definitely lost Sean Dunnigan. We'll see if we can get him back on the horn here in just a moment. But do we get you back?
Oh, yeah. Did you guys get all
yep.
that? Yep,
we lost you for a second, man. Okay, so hold on. We've gotten to the point now where defensive coordinators are making $1.5 million.
And offensive coordinators are making $1 million.
Good. Wow. How does that $1.5 million for an assistant coach? That's crazy.
Yep.
I mean, I think it's spiraling out of control, but regardless.
Alex Quinn, who they just brought in from Washington State to coach the defensive backs, I believe. His starting salary is $800,000 for 2018.
Wow. Well,
there was only one coach who didn't get a raise, and that was Bill Davis. He stays at $500,000. Zach Smith is the lowest paid coach on the payroll who coached the wide receivers. He got a $40,000 increase, so he goes from $300,000 to $340,000.
That's it?
Yep, that's it.
Jeez, oh man.
But you have coaches now. Honestly, now it's two coaches making over $1 million, two coaches making $800,000. Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach, is making $750,000. Tony Alford is just over $500,000. Bill Davis and Greg Shadrawa are both at $500,000. Tabor Johnson, who's coming back to Ohio State, was announced he's making $345,000. And Zach Smith making $340,000.
Those numbers blow me away. I mean, I'm flabbergasted
incredible.
By those amounts.
But what's interesting is Ryan Day and Greg Schiano could have left and made double that.
Yeah. No, it's out of control. Out of control. I mean, look, being a college football coach is a very difficult thing. I know people look at that on the surface and they think, well, what do those guys do outside of Saturday? Well, a lot. As a matter of fact, a lot of assistant
exactly.
coaches, they end up sleeping at the facility because they don't have enough time to go home knowing they got to be back at the facility at 6 o'clock that next morning. So,
Or in the case of Jim Harbaugh, sleeping at a recruit's house.
Well, there. I knew that was coming at some point, but yes, regardless, those guys put in the work. But wow, man, that's a lot of money tied up in a coaching staff, no question about that.
But you look down in the SEC, and you got some assistants making $2 million.
Wow, I mean,
so I wouldn't be surprised if that's far off in the next few years.
Yeah, this will give us a little more to discuss next week. But I want to transition into hoops for now because. This men's basketball team is doing something really special. Again, I know as we've discussed many, many times when you've come on in the past, nobody saw this coming. I think we certainly expected or hoped to see at least a little bit of improvement, nothing like this. I mean, that win over Purdue last week was really fun to watch. And on top of that, I don't know, Dunny. I mean, I look at the rest of this schedule, and they have a chance for redemption against Penn State tonight.
Yep.
Outside of maybe Indiana, I don't see anybody else on the schedule that could knock them off. Obviously, you know, playing Michigan one more time, there's a lot at play there too. But I don't see any losses left in the schedule. Do you?
Well, I think the game tonight and the game at Michigan is almost back to back. You know, one tonight, one Sunday. You don't have much time to recoup for that. Plus, them being on the road, you only have one more home game left. And then playing at Indiana at Assembly Hall is not easy. I think this is a tougher stretch than you think. You have a chance to have too many emotions going into this one against Penn State. and then you're going to have too many emotions with a rivalry game at Michigan. And then you come home for senior night, and Jayshon Tate and Andrew Dockich will be honored, and possibly Kitty Bates-Deion. Who knows what's going to happen with that. So you have a lot of emotions with that. And then you go to Indiana, which, again, not an easy place to play. There's a chance that I don't see them, you know, losing all four. I could see them losing one, maybe two games in this, just because of the emotions and the ride that's happening. But at the same time, this team has done so well this entire season of just keeping it cool and calm under pressure that who knows, that they, as you said, they could go 4-0 in this four-game stretch.
Well, if they do go 4-0 in this stretch, as I expect them to, you got to wonder where that might put them after the conference tournament, only because they're really fighting for a 2 or a 3 seed, I think, at this point. They're certainly making a very, very strong case, and Kata Bates-Diop is – go ahead.
I said the NCAA came out with a top 16 seed that the tournament ended last Sunday. So if the season ended on this past Sunday, Ohio State was the number 14 – was 14 seeded, so they would be a 4 seed in the East region. Are they fighting for a 2-3? I think the win at Purdue helps them. I think 4 big wins helps that. And I also think getting a win, another win over a Michigan State or Purdue in the Big Ten tournament would go a very long way getting to a 2 or a 3 seed. But right now, I think a 4 seed right now is kind of where they're going to stay for a little bit.
Yeah, well, we've got a few weeks left here before we get into the teeth of March Madness. And then you have your vacation where you end up spending 4 days watching nothing but college hoops, right?
No, I can't do that anymore because I will be working with Penn TV and got to cover the Buckeyes in the tournament. But I believe it's Sweet 16 and Elite 8 weekend, I'll actually be golfing in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, man. See, now you're really rubbing it in. Well, next week when we have you on, my friend, because we're up against it, next week when we have you on, we've got to dig deeper into Kata Bates-Diop because I think he's one of these guys that has a serious shot at winning that John Wooden Award. Dunny, a pleasure.
Absolutely.
A pleasure as always, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
See you guys next week.
All righty. Again, Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, talking about the Olympics and the Buckeyes and a few things in between. All right, time for a break.